I just really appreciate that song. It is so powerful. I am a child of God, no longer a slave to fear. That's what we've been talking about for these last number of weeks, is the whole issue of facing fears, right? And who of us doesn't have a measure of fear with regard to something in our lives that needs attention, needs to be faced with faith? We're going to do that. We're going to summarize this in just a bit. And we're going to ask you to share with us how, in fact, maybe God has been teaching you to face your fears and handle them maybe a little bit differently as a result of this series. And that will come after I sort of summarize some things. But before I get into a summary of the series, I want to just let you know a report with regard to the search team. And I can tell you that the search team has met again this past Monday, and we have now posted our need for a pastor with the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, have already received a few resumes from that source, and we're continuing to wait upon you and look to you to network with us. If you know somebody, or you know somebody that might know somebody, get the information about that person to us so that we can look it over and consider and pray about whether that person might be a person that God would have serve in the capacity of our senior pastor, our lead pastor. We need to have from that individual, again, it's in your bulletin, his resume. We need a statement of faith, and we need a philosophy of ministry. And if we receive those things, we can proceed with them. We'll soon, within the next day or so, also be posted with the 4Cs, the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference. The job will be posted with them, and we expect that we'd probably receive some resumes from them as well. Well, my dear friends, fear. It's a feeling, usually of dread, something like that. And when that feeling comes upon us, it tells us that there's something to be avoided, something to escape. Fear is meant, in fact, to prompt protective or survivalist behavior of some kind. It's actually part of God's design. But like any good thing that's part of God's design, it can be distorted, can be abused, be twisted in this fallen and corrupt world that we live in. You see, because fear was never meant to control or to stymie our lives, to allow us to live diminished lives. But that's what happens. And it happens time and time and time again. It happens with you. It happens with me. Fear crops its ugly head and stymies us, controls us, diminishes us. We spoke about six common fears in this series. Fear of inadequacy. Fear of unmet expectations. Fear of the unknown. Fear of uncontrolled circumstances. Fear of giants, and fear of rejection. Let me just review real quickly some of the things that we had to say about each of those. With regard to the fear of inadequacy, we said that the fear of being inadequate has a way of holding us back in life, keeping us from attempting new ventures, perhaps. It's important to realize that God can use our inadequacies to glorify himself. In the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, we see that, where it tells us that he chose the foolish to confound the wise. He chose the weak to, in fact, stand against the strong. He chose the lowly to take on the high, the mighty, the haughty. Now, every one of us is apportioned giftedness, strengths, but all of us as well have inadequacies in one way or another. No one of us is good at everything. None of us. So we need to acknowledge and embrace our inadequacies, as well as, and at the same time, His sufficiency, meaning Jesus. God doesn't give us opportunity without supplying what is needed to meet that opportunity. He is always the source of our competence. He is the source of our competence. In the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, we read, "Our competence comes from God." We spoke about the fear of unmet expectations and discussed Abraham. Abraham, if you remember, made a decision based upon fear that his expectation of having a son would never be met. Our hearts, Vinny said, are like a desire factory. And desires produce expectations. Those desires of our heart might not in all cases be godly desires. And so we need to guard our hearts like a goalie guards the net. There are some things that shouldn't be let in. And so it's important that we guard our hearts of those desires that shouldn't be there. How do we do that? Well, the author of Hebrews chapter 4 points us to the Bible. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "The Bible is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of what? Of our hearts." Vinny said, "When I'm reading the Bible is reading me. If the Bible agrees with the desire that we have, then let that desire in. Let it take root. Let it have residence in us. But if it doesn't, don't let it into your heart." Secondly, he said that we need to delight in the Lord. We cannot let what we want become more important to us than the Lord Himself. That, my friends, is to fall into the sin of idolatry. Jesus delighted to please the Father. What an example He is of us as we seek to delight in the Lord. And thirdly, Vinny said that we should commit or trust the future to God. And we know what it means to trust. It means to lean upon, to allow God Himself to establish our plans. And then and only then will they surely succeed. Psalm 37 and verse 5. There's the fear of the unknown. When unknowns sprout, our confidence, our pride, our very sense of sovereignty is challenged. And we looked at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was one with the title sovereign. And he was, in fact, faced with a dream that he could not understand. And he had to learn the lesson of facing his fear of the unknown. So how did he do that? Well, first, he recalled the experience that he had witnessed of God's faithfulness to Daniel and his companions. And then he received the revelation, or God's word, through Daniel's interpretation of his dream. He then applied what God's word said to himself. And finally, he hoped in God's plan for him. God's faithfulness in the past, God's word, applying God's word, and hoping in God's plan for us, a hope, in fact, that never disappoints because it's anchored in Jesus, as Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 tells us. It's a living hope, as Peter tells us in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 3. And then we talked about the fear of uncontrolled circumstances. And you remember Job was the focus of our attention that week. And Job certainly was faced with innumerable uncontrolled circumstances in his life, wasn't he? But Job talked with God rather than complaining to others about him or cursing God. Job relied upon his advocate with God. He was certainly a man before his time. His advocate, very clearly, if you look at the passage in Job 16, verses 19 through 22, his advocate was none other than Jesus, who is our advocate with the Father as well. And we learned that it's important to hope in God, not circumstances. And that brought us to the fear of giants. And you remember what the giants are in life. People, problems, pressures, pain, persecution, any or all of that that stands in the way of God's plan for us. Remember David standing before Goliath. And Goliath was right in the way of what God had planned for his people. And David took him on, defeating the giants glorifies God. There's a horrible cost to the alternative, to cowering before the giants in our life. That horrible cost includes weeping and grumbling and blaming and regressing. But that's not what God wants for us. Now, I have to be honest with you, and I have to admit to you, standing in front of you this way, the giants don't always get defeated. They didn't when the children of God were on the threshold of the promised land, did they? Sometimes God uses the giants to correct or to redirect our lives. God always determines in any contest with giants who the winner will be. Not the giants, not ourselves, but God determines the victor. We need to trust God. Trust Him and not methods of our own. And we know that we can trust Him because as He came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we saw Jesus defeat and conquer the three biggest giants that loom over all of our lives. The giant of Satan, the giant of sin, and the giant of death. There's no place among believers for a grasshopper mentality as the people of God had on the threshold of the promised land. Philippians 4 and verse 13 is a giant killer mentality. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Finally, we looked at the fear of rejection. And Vinny turned to the life of Leah for us to learn something from relative to rejection. Jacob didn't see her. Her husband didn't even see her. But God did. And sometimes we realize that we are doing things simply to get seen by others or to get accepted by others, even if they're wrong. But let it be known, God sees us, even when others don't. God hears us, even when others don't. God connects with us and attaches himself to us, even when others won't. You see, with God, rejection is never the final word. Through Leah's son, Judah, comes none other than the Messiah himself. Jesus, the Messiah, understood rejection. He suffered it himself. And he's the one that told us, "He who comes to me, I will never cast out." John 6 and verse 37. Jesus values us. So, my dear friends, in conclusion, I want us to appreciate and learn first this lesson, that Scripture addresses all our fears. Whatever fear we encounter, whatever fear comes our way, Scripture addresses it. That's one of the marvels of this book, the Bible. Scripture addresses our fear. And then there are four things that I want us to remember when we come to face fear, whatever that fear may be. We're going to put those four things on the board. First, God loves us unconditionally. John 4:18. It says, perfect love. And that's the kind of love God has for us, demonstrated toward us in Jesus, didn't he? God loves us unconditionally with a perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. Secondly, God is always in complete control. Isaiah 14 and verse 27 says, "For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out. Who can turn it back?" Isaiah 14, 27. God is always in complete control. Thirdly, do we understand and do we believe that God can redeem everything for good? That very familiar verse of Scripture from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "In all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And finally, God will never leave you. Never. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." But isn't it a marvelous thought to consider that not only does God say that at the end of the book, but God says that at the beginning of the book. God is saying the same thing from beginning to end. "Never will I leave you." Deuteronomy. "Never will I forsake you." Hebrews. God's word to us is the same. He doesn't change from beginning to end. He will never leave us. You know, a very big part of fear is a lack of knowledge. If we can know and believe these things, it enables us, I believe, to exercise the faith that God will give us. I want us to look at one verse as sort of our focus verse. It's from 1 John chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. It says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." You see, the opposite of fear is not courage. It's faith. Faith in our Savior. Faith in our Advocate. Faith in Jesus. So that's where we've been these last number of weeks. And maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe God has taught you something. And we'd like to share it with you. But we can only share it with you if you conquer the greatest fear of all, which is what? Public speaking. You know the old joke about fear of public speaking being the greatest fear? And the guy who said that on that basis, I can't remember who it was, I'd rather be the one in the coffin than the one giving the eulogy. So how has God helped you to handle your fears? What maybe has he taught you in the course of this time? It's your turn. Encourage the rest of us. Maybe you're facing a fear right now, and you'd like to share that with us so that we can be in prayer with you about it. And we will, because God has made us a family in Christ. So it's your turn, however God is leading.
So not only can you be a blessing to the people in this room if you share your testimony, because this is part of the sermon today, we're also going to be sharing this online. So there's between 50 and 100 people who will listen to these stories and be blessed. So who wants to be a blessing? Don't scratch yourself. I'll come over and give you the microphone.
Good morning, church. I'm Katie Neely. I haven't been here for all of the sermons, but I really love this last verse that you just gave us, 1 John 4:5. The victory that has overcome the world is really overcome fear, and the world is our faith. And I think that God has really been helping me lately to see the importance of faith, even when we don't see the result of our faith right away, and to really persevere in faith, because we believe in a great God who does amazing things. And it's so exciting when we have the answer to our prayers or we see him move. And it's very discouraging when we don't see him move. And Dulcie, I'm so glad to see you here today. And I'm going to try not to cry. I have been learning a lot about healing lately. And all right, I'm just going to cry, so just bear with me. And I really felt like God... I just knew that God could heal Dulcie, and when I went to her house to pray for her, and she wasn't healed, it was really hard for me, and it just discouraged me, because I felt like God could really and wants to heal. And so just recently I went to a conference that on prophecy and stuff, and it was one of the things I learned was that when you're called to a certain thing, sometimes God gives you a trial in that before you are really thrust forward into that. And so, I came to see that as a time where when I don't see the hope that I had, which was her to be healed, how am I going to continue? Am I going to continue in faith and trust God and keep praying for people, believing that that's what God wants? Or am I going to just give up? And so God really... showed me this weekend the importance of persevering, because his word is true. And I'm not persevering because I just have hope in something random. I'm hoping in God's promises, in his word. So thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
Vince. Hi. First of all, I just wanted to say I'm so happy to be back here at Crossroads. I really missed being here. Lately, I'm finding that as our children, Gail and I have four children, as they get older, the problems get bigger, and we our worries get bigger too, and we worry more about them now probably than when they were little children, definitely. And right now, my son. My son and my former daughter-in-law are going through a very, very difficult divorce, and it's breaking our hearts. We find ourselves blaming ourselves, Gail and I. Where did we go wrong? We find ourselves trying in every possible way to help them and fix the situation. We think sometimes we can fix the situation. We could make it better. And of course, we can't. It's totally out of our control at this point. And then we often forget that it just has to be in God's hands. And we need to pray for them. And we need to especially pray that they find God in their lives, that they find the Lord Jesus in their lives and follow him. And the pain will subside. There'll be peace in their lives. You know, it certainly may not change anything in terms of their marriage, but right now, especially my son, he needs peace in his life, and that's not something that Gail and I can give him, mm-hmm. as much as we think we can sometimes. All we can do is pray for them, and we know, we're finding out more and more that. It is all in God's hands, and that we really need to trust in him. When we do, I just know that those fears that we have will subside.
Thank you, Vince.
There's probably nobody in this room that has afraid of a lot of things than me. Afraid of height, afraid of the dog, the cat. talk to my husband, yeah. But God brought me this far. I'm just nervous when I talk. That's also fear of speaking. God brought me this far, physically, from the Philippines, halfway around the world, and spiritually. And so I know that he'll be with me till the end. And I'm a fear of the future, too. But I know that, you know, one of the lists in there that says, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And one thing that fear of is my parents are, you know, they're old, they're 89 years old. My father has a lot of sickness and kidney disease, you know, and but so far, I know I've been praying about him. I'm praying about when the time comes when God calls them, that you know, God give me the strength to handle, you know, everything, and just the fear of losing someone, and I know that God will. You know, I pray that God, he's 89 years old, and that I pray that, you know, God, give them more years, give my parents more years to enjoy your blessing, to enjoy each other, and just, I really just leave that to him. And so, you know, that really gets the fear from me, that I just leave it to God. And that is, you know, really true. Because I pray for them, I pray for that fear every day, and that really gives me the strength to fight that fear.
God bless. Thank you. There's two in the back.
So this sermon series has spoken to me through the entire thing. So many of you may know that my job situation became very toxic over this last year, and it had a huge impact on my family and even my own personal life. And so it had kind of come to a head in the fall. And so at some point I decided that, you know, I really needed to start looking for another job. And so when you look through each of these things, every week I would tell Vinny, I said every week whatever you spoke on was what I was dealing with. And so you look at, like, the fear of inadequacies. When I started looking for a job, I was like, who's going to want me? You know, the job I currently had is extremely specialized, and so I was really branching out into kind of another area. So I kind of had to trust God somehow would make it happen. And over the entire year, I had sent out my resume many times and never heard anything back. And so this roughly November area, I gave it to some people that I actually knew and had them get into the hands of people. And when they did and they could actually say who I was behind the resume, I started getting phone calls. So that was, you know, great for me. So, and then you talk about like the unmet expectations, and it's like what God wants versus what we want. And so for the entire year, I had tried to make my work situation work. And I was like, I'm gonna make this work. But then I started to realize, you know, maybe God is actually speaking to me and telling me something like, you know, my family is more important than the job. My health is more important than my job. And so it was just kind of getting through all that stuff. Looking at the fear of giants, the people that I work with were just, you know, the way they treated me, you know, I would go in some days almost in tears because I was afraid of some of them. And so it was like facing them and figuring out, you know, who are they to have control on my life? You know, God is with me, and I would read, you know, Bible verses in my office to help give me strength, and I'd be praying to God, you know, hey, you can protect me. They can't touch me with you. The fear of the unknown happened to come during the time when I had three opportunities that I was going to have to pick from. I had possibility of an internal transfer at my company or actually leaving my company. And so when I started thinking about that, I was like, you know, I think God's just telling me that it's okay. It's okay to leave, you know. Trust me, I've got a plan for you. And it was during right around that time when, you know, I'd been praying to God, you know, give me an answer. Let me know which way I'm supposed to go. I always hear people say that, you know, God spoke to me. And I'm like, speak to me, please. And for all of you out there, like, he does speak to you. You just have to be patient. Like, I all of a sudden got just an incredible calmness over me about what decision I was supposed to make. And it was, you know, the greatest feeling ever. And you can ask my husband, because I think I called him in Switzerland because he was off traveling. I'm like, I think this is where I'm supposed to be. So there was a lot of trials in order to get there, though, but we won't talk about those. But it ended up all working out really well. But then you just talk about like the fear of rejection. I had that along the way as well, because I was thinking about, you know, are they going to reject me when I start at my new company? You know, what's it going to be like? I'm going in not having certain skills. But through this whole entire thing, I can say that, you know, I've drawn closer to God. My family has become more important to me than ever. And even my husband has been a huge support as well. And just everybody in church that has prayed for me, I have felt so, like, supported and loved and wanted that it's just been amazing. So even through all these fears, it all turned out for, you know, the best and brought me closer to God and other things. So.
Thank you, Fabiana. Thank you.
I'm all the way back here in the back. It's okay for me to be totally in the back because I'm usually way up front, so it's fair. In the first service, Patricia spoke, and she really made a point that was put on me. I was reading an article that also led to it, and Patricia was talking about admitting that she was afraid and saying that I know we're supposed to be, as Christians, we're supposed to not fear and we're supposed to be strong. And I think sometimes there's that kind of feeling in church. And I was reading an article about millennials and how they don't really like to go to church, and they find church to be not the right place for them to be. And one of the big reasons that they felt like that was that they couldn't be afraid, or they couldn't doubt, or they felt like they had to suck it up and be strong and never show any feelings or weaknesses. And it's a New England kind of thing, you know, to say, no, I'm good, I'm fine. And, you know, how you doing? How's your day? Oh, great, I'm awesome. And so I think that just being the fear of fear, you know, is something that, for me, the church is a place where you come and God, it's not really like that. That's not a very Christian perspective. It's, you know, Jesus himself was in the garden praying, sweating blood, saying, Lord, if there's a way to take this cup from me, please do it, you know. And so if it's all right for Jesus to have moments of doubt and fear, it's certainly okay for the rest of us. We don't have to have this stiff upper lip all the time. And to me, that was I felt God was really putting it on me when Patricia spoke and I read that article. It really seemed to speak out to me. So I guess God speaks in, like the person right before me said, you know, it's you don't know. You feel like sometimes you wait for a voice in your head, but I don't think that's always the case. Sometimes he's speaking to you all the time, and you're not really realizing it. So that was what happened for me.
Thank you so much, Keith. Somebody else.
I think it was special when you said something about how your fears can be diminished by growing your faith. And I think one of the ways that you grow your faith is by getting in the Word. So one of the scriptures that you guys mentioned throughout the series was Hebrews 4:12, which says, "The Word of God is living and active." And I met with a friend during this series, and she was talking just about the Word of God, and there was such a glow on her and such a joy to share God's Word. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, if God's Word is alive and active, it can only be alive and active if I'm really getting into it and letting it be in me and be alive and active. So over this series, I've really tried to just sit and be still with the Word of God and ask Him to be alive and active. And it's been such a joy to see Scripture come out that I didn't even realize was there, and words and verses that have just been so comforting to me through my fears.
Thank you, Heather.
Hello. I'm back here. This is my first thing doing the video downstairs. I hope I'm not doing a bad job for them downstairs. But sorry. So basically, you know, before I came to faith, I believed in bad luck. You know, I came from a Buddhist background, so it's always good luck or bad luck. You know, you go to the temple and you go to the monk and you say, "Hey, is this a good year for me for good luck? You know, for money or fortune?" And as I, you know, start to follow Jesus and realize that God was my Savior and everything, unfortunately, last year we were blessed because we got our baptism and everything was going so well, and we finally, me and my wife, we finally had our wedding ceremony. So everything was going so well. We kept it, you know, we did it. Traditionally, we basically announce to all our friends and our family that we're Christians, because only our close friends and family knows. But we had over 120 people at a wedding that probably only 20 or 30 knew that we were Christians, you know. So it was good to share our faith, right? And that was a big fear to me, because I had family coming from all over the country to my wedding, and my wife as well and her family. And you know, we're blessed enough on our honeymoon night to conceive a child, you know. And I can't say it was bad luck, but like going through this whole series, it's a trial of God that God has given us, because 2 months after, we found out that she had a miscarriage. And then after that, it was a series of trials. And a month and a half after that, I lost my job. And it was just a lot, you know. It was a troubling time, but like, you just have to continue to have faith in God, because you have to believe that everything is in His control, and He does things for a reason, you know. And going to church and listening to the sermons and having everyone just around me and feeling the love, it just continues to not just have the faith, but continues to motivate you and know that you're not just the only one suffering. Everyone else is suffering around you, you know, and that's why we need Jesus to save us. And with God's love and Jesus's love for us, just doors opened up for me afterwards, after I lost my job. I had so many opportunities coming to me before I even updated my resume. And it just shows that if you live a life and you follow the path of Christ and you show the light of Jesus through you, people see it. And when they found out my employment happened, they knocked on my door left and right. And I came into the same situation as you. I felt like I wasn't good enough. All these positions were engineer positions. I never went to school to be an engineer, you know. And it just feels very, like, secure. And it feels really good to know that God is behind you, and He put all this in front of you and gave you all this knowledge, you know, so you could go walk forward and have your head up instead of looking down, and just confront these fears and say, I'm good enough, you know, and that's no other God could give that other than God and Jesus, you know, and all these other fake gods can't do it. You could pray to them all you want, but they can't do anything. So I just want to share that, you know, even though you can't see the stuff, like Katie says, God is working every day. Every day he's working for you. So God bless.
Thank you, Nam.
My name is Gabe. Well, Gabriel, but they call me Gabe. This church here, so good to me and my wife. At the end of 2008, I thought I couldn't be destroyed. I had a good job, my wife had a good job. The wife is happy. Well, if the wife is happy, the household is happy. And we used to go fishing almost every day at the Quabbin Reservoir. And then all of a sudden, my back was killing me. I'll be standing up and then go right down without even knowing what's happening. So I had the operation in June 2009. And when they woke me up, I was paralyzed from the waist down. And then I went to Spalding Rehab in Boston. And I was there for 140 days. At night, that's where the real struggle began. You by yourself, and it gives you times to think. I had a French Bible, a Creole Bible, a Spanish Bible, and an English Bible. And I did learn that as a Christian, all we have to do is God's will. And then God said, ask and you shall receive. I did ask, but in order to receive, you have to do your part. And I tried and I tried. And then to this day, every day is a struggle for me. Every day from morning to night. And as a 67-year-old, getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning and sometimes getting home at 4 in the afternoon, it's not easy. But if you have God in your corner, nothing will happen to you. God will protect you. But be careful. Satan is always lurking around the corner. Always, always, always. So God is the way, and then God is the only way. We're talking about living in fear. It is real. We all human beings, and then we are all subject to temptation. So we have to be strong, very, very strong. Well, 3 years ago, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. At my rehab, I was taking steps. I was standing up. And then I had a major, major operation that set me back at least 2.5 years. So that meant I had to do everything over and over and over again to this day. my friends, so those of you who just joined this church, we have a lot of good people here who are willing to help you. We have a lot of good people who are willing to pray for you. And my wife and I, we receive so much help from this church. There was never no question asked. And then to these days, like the church as we see it today, it's not 1341 Edgel Road now. It's not this building. The church is us. The church is us. And we are here to help each other. And then when you have needs, they will take care of your needs. You need prayer, they will take care of your prayer. And before I end, February 16, this past week, was our 43rd wedding anniversary. Yeah. And so we've been together 45 years. And now I'm going to be 68. And Maggie's going to be, And this is not the way. We weren't supposed to live the way we are now. We are supposed to travel and everything. But now, Jesus has a way of making you humble. Has a way of making you humble. And then you have to live with it. And then now also, my wife's mother lives with us, 99 years old. And so Maggie is taking care of two people in a wheelchair. And it is a blessing for me to live with such a strong woman, Christian woman, loves God and loves her family. Even though I'm in a wheelchair, my friends, I feel myself blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. I wonder if we might stand. And can we have those four statements on the board again? It would do us well, I think, to recite these together, and then also after that, the verse from 1 John chapter 5. Let's recite these together. God loves us unconditionally. God is always in complete control. God can redeem everything for good. God will never leave you. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Let's pray. Our faith comes from you, Heavenly Father. You have given it to us, and its focus is in none other than Jesus himself, the one who conquered all fear, the one who conquered the greatest fears that we face, that of Satan, that of sin, that of death. We trust you, Jesus, as we encounter any other smaller fear in our lives, though it is so significant to us at the time. Help us to, in fact, live in faith rather than fear. We pray it so that our lives are not merely diminished, but our lives are what you have meant them to be, regardless of circumstances, abundant. And we praise you that it's possible because of Jesus. In his name, amen.